This is the Monday Mindset Podcast, where we share things of interest to us and hopefully to you.
So let's get started with episode number 53.
And this week, it's time for Daisy to share something with us. Daisy, what do you have?
Well, Terry, this week, I thought I would talk about something that I have already been doing. As you know, many weeks now, I have brought something that I've thought, oh, that's a good idea. I must try that. I must do that. And more often than not, I don't. So I thought this time, I will bring something that I've already been doing so that I can talk about doing it.
Great idea.
And that is open water swimming or cold water immersion. As you know, I have been swimming in the sea. That's the English Channel, and it is very, very cold. I think it's gone up from the coldest I've been in it of late of 7 degrees to 10 degrees, might even be a bit more now. So pretty, pretty cold. But I have to say, it is becoming very addictive. So I was down there on Friday. And after our swim, we met a couple of ladies who it turns out are members of a group that is now international called the Blue Tits Chill Swimmers. And we got badges and joined the local Facebook group, but apparently it's international. It was founded by somebody called Sean Richardson in 2014, but there are now over 6,000 members worldwide. And these are all people, hilarious name, these are all people who like to swim in cold water, basically. And so I joined the Facebook group and scrolled down to see some of the posts and came across a very interesting video. It's a presentation done by somebody called Mike Tipton. Now, Mike Tipton is a professor of human and applied physiology, and he's really interested in the physiological and pathological integrative response of humans to extreme environments. So he knows a lot about cold water immersion, and it was a presentation with all the science behind what goes on when you swim in cold water. And he mentioned in this presentation, and I will link to the presentation, it's over an hour, but he mentioned a podcast that he'd done with Michael Mosley. It's a relatively new podcast by all accounts called Just One Thing. It's a very short form, they're about 15-20 minutes, and Michael Mosley talks about just one thing to try. And the episode he was on was called Cold Showers. Michael Mosley, I don't know if you're familiar with him. You probably do know him, actually, because he's pretty well known for the 5-2 diet, which, well, doesn't meet your fasting standards, but he became quite famous in the UK. I think he's actually rebranded it. I think it might be called the Fast Diet or something now. I've actually met him at the PHC conference. He's actually a little bit anti-low carb. He rubbed me up the wrong way, I have to say. But he's a very good TV presenter and has done some interesting programs on British TV. And this podcast, I have to say, is pretty good. So I knew from swimming in France that I liked open water swimming. I used to swim in a lake there, which was a lot warmer than the sea, I have to say. But I did go in it 1 year in particular. I kept swimming right up until November. And I think the temperature I measured it went down to about 8 degrees. So I've already experienced the effect that swimming in cold water has on you. And I can remember that it made me feel quite good. It's exhilarating. So it was something I had in my mind when I moved here and being so close to the sea that it was something I was determined to start doing. And a woman that I see regularly in the park that I go to with my dogs, she was actually the one who told me about the private gardens I take my dogs to. She mentioned one day when we met in the park that she'd been thinking the same thing of swimming in the sea, but that we both kind of chickened out. We both thought of it and hadn't done it. So I said to her, well, hey, look, let's make a date so that we have to do it so that we can't back out. And that's exactly what we did. And we've been going ever since, at least once a week, sometimes twice a week. and really started enjoying it. So what are the benefits of cold water immersion? Well, they're mostly anecdotal, but as Mike Tipton says, pretty strong anecdotal evidence. There's the challenge and the sense of achievement that you have for doing something that is certainly challenging, takes your breath away when you first go in, but you feel really good when you come out that you've managed to do it. There's the distraction element, which I think is the same with most exercise, that you don't tend to think about things that might be worrying you or bothering you while you're doing it. There's the social aspect. That's certainly true for me. Like I say, I've been going with this friend I've made from dog walking. The green blue therapy, as he calls it, but being in nature. And that was something I think I mentioned in the last episode that I brought, that sort of feeling of awe, being in nature, being surrounded by something that just gives you that sense of awe, that sense of just being surrounded by beauty. Has anti-inflammatory benefits, releases serotonin and endorphins. It's also supposed to be very good for lipedema. And that's something that I haven't had diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure that I have. And I've seen some of the other women that I've seen going swimming have it too. So yes, it's supposed to be very good for that. So I have pulled the information a little bit from both from this podcast, but also from the video presentation, which I think overall is something that I found more interesting, but is much longer. And he talks about that we've known for a long time that there are therapeutic benefits of going in the sea and cold water immersion, you know, the taking of the waters. But he talks about the three main benefits really are that it makes you feel alive. The temperature change, the sudden temperature change triggers that fight or flight response and wakes you up with an adrenaline rush. It's a cold shock response, the sudden skin cooling. And that sudden skin cooling happens really in the first minute of immersion in the water. And he says overall that most of the beneficial effects actually are gained in the first 5 minutes or so, and prolonged exposure can actually become a bit of a problem. And the other big benefit is the anti-inflammatory effect. When you habituate to repeated cold water exposure, you decrease your stress response to sudden temperature change. And he says this may have, the reason they think it has an anti-inflammatory effect, that this may have a cross-adaptive benefit to other stressors associated with an inflammatory response. It can potentially help with things like depression, type 2 diabetes, dementia, you know, anything. Anyone who's in the communities that we tend to be a part of knows all about the anti-inflammatory benefits that you can get from diet, and he is saying from cold water exposure. Boost to the immune system. A lot of people who regularly go cold water swimming say they very rarely have things like colds. And they talk about a couple of examples, but one that I remember watching the program actually quite a few years back. The program was called The Doctor Who Gave Up Drugs with Dr. Chris Van Tulleken on the BBC. And they focused on a woman with postnatal depression. And she also had a history of suicide in her family. I think probably her father had committed suicide and another relative. And they suggested, so the principle of this program was to find other treatments that weren't drugs, basically. The clue's in the title, The Doctor Who Gave Up Drugs. So each episode, they'd look for an alternative therapy of some kind. And what they suggested for this woman was open water, cold water swimming. And he mentioned it in this podcast with Michael Mosley. They've actually done a follow-up, a case study on her talking about the benefits of cold water immersion, because she came off the antidepressants she was on, and she said that her symptoms of depression alleviated and they haven't come back since she has been doing the cold water swimming. And so the acclimatization to the cold water shock response is actually fairly quick. And I've certainly found that. He mentions, you know, maybe half a dozen times, and you start finding it a lot easier when you go in. But he talked about some studies that they've done where they could actually measure the effect on your body, and you actually see that in the results, that you don't have the same stress response to the cold. He says there is a downside to this, and that is that this habituation to the response is not reflected in how you feel, and it can be deceptive because the behavioral response fails to give you the right clues that you're getting too cold. And this is something that I've noticed, and I almost need to, I think, set a timer, especially when it's a lovely sunny day. We go in and, you know, we're having such fun, and you go in and it's very cold to start with, obviously, when you're getting in. But then you have at about the sort of a few minute marks, it's what I call a sort of brain and body freeze. It's a bit like, you know, if you've ever eaten too much ice cream all at once, you get that brain freeze. It's kind of like that, but all over your body. And then that passes, and then actually you just feel great. And we get to the point where, oh, we think we should really get out now, because you don't have, your body's not giving you the right signals. You're getting used to it too much and you feel good, and you can stay in for too long. And I've done that, and I've come out, and we've agreed that, yeah, we need to maybe set a timer at half an hour max, because you come out and you can't feel your hands and nothing works properly. And Jackie's actually had some problems with feeling a bit sort of spacey and brain foggy. So, you know, you do have to be a little bit careful. And he says that short is good, really, when it comes to timing. And he says 5 to 10 minutes is ideal. So staying in for, you know, half an hour, 40 minutes is probably pushing it a bit too far. And actually that maybe you can have too much of a good thing. But when the sun is shining and there are some quite nice big waves that you're jumping, it's too much fun, and we don't really want to get out. So what happens if you don't live 10 minutes from the sea? Can you get the same benefits just from taking cold showers? And I spoke to Dan and Erica from Have Butter Will Travel, because I seem to remember in their newsletters that they were doing an experiment with taking cold showers every morning. So I asked Dan, you know, what her experience had been, because I actually tried it a while back when I was still in France. I think I'd been watching some videos with Wim Hof or something like that, and thought, well, this is a really easy way to get the benefits of cold water. You know, the idea is that you either go straight into a cold shower, or you do what I was doing, where you just switch it to cold at the end of your shower. And you're supposed to get all the kind of benefits that I've listed already from doing that. Well, I couldn't get it to stick. And so I remember Dan and Erica doing it, so I asked her. And she said that they were doing 1 to 2 minutes of cold shower a day, and they worked up to 2 minutes slowly. And she said initially they felt energized afterwards, but as it started getting colder in Australia as they headed into the winter, she said they started hating the showers and not feeling like they were getting any benefit from them at all. She says now they've got an infrared sauna, and they alternate going in that with then having a cold shower afterwards. And she says they enjoy that a lot more. Generally, she says they feel good and they benefit from it that way, but she says she didn't really notice anything else. So the question I have, and he did discuss this in the video, is it just the cold, or is it the context? And I would argue that it is more about everything else. You know, for me, it's a very enjoyable walk down to the sea. I've mentioned before, you know, I like looking at the architecture and, you know, everything that's around me. So it's a very pleasant walk there and back. There's the social aspect, you know, I'm doing it with somebody else. We often meet other people. We go to a particular place where all the swimmers tend to go in the sea. So we often meet other people. So it has that social aspect. You're doing it with somebody else. You're meeting new people. you're outside, so you're in the open air, often the sun is shining, and the sea is lovely, so you've got that. He talked about the green, the blue therapy, so you're out in nature. And then there's just something, I think, about being in the water. I've always loved it. I know when I was a lot bigger, I always felt very free when I was in the water. I guess it's gravity gets removed and you kind of feel normal if you're in a very big body when you're in the water. So there's that sort of element. I've just always loved being in the water. I've always been a bit of a water baby. But there is definitely something in the cold water part. You know, I can feel that you feel energized from it. But I found it, like I say, I've started to find it quite addictive. When I get back from having been in, I want to go and do it almost straight away again. I've certainly seen it's had an improvement on my mood. I've only been doing it for 2 or 3 months, but I have seen an improvement and I enjoy it very much. So there you go. Cold water immersion, and what somebody referred to, there's a film that I must go and watch, because apparently it's all about treating migraines with what she calls vitamin C. I think the title of the film is, and I will put a link when I find it, 100 Days of Vitamin C.
I was going to ask you about that, Daisy, because one of the benefits I had heard about is that for some people it can help with migraines. And particularly an article I read about cold showers, because you can get, you know, the cold water on the back of the neck and supposedly that would help. I think this is a very cool topic. I dabbled in this a while back, not the swimming part. I'm not much of a swimmer and don't live by the sea per se. But I used to go for a while to cryotherapy.
Oh, gosh, yes, I remember you doing that.
Yeah, where you stand like basically in a tube that's very, very, very cold for a couple of minutes. And then another experience I was doing around that time is I did a cheap version of this because I didn't have like a big tub that I could put cold water in, like a in athletic training rooms, they often will have like an immersion tub that they will have athletes sit in for healing and reducing inflammation after a performance or after a competition or whatever. But so I would go to the gas station and get several bags of ice, like 5-pound bags of ice, and then come home and lay them in the bathtub. And then I would lie down on the blocks of ice. And I got to the point where I don't remember if I got to a half hour or if I got longer than a half hour. I know I was at least a half hour. But then when I would try to open the bags and put the water in, it was way too cold. I couldn't tolerate that. So I'm so impressed that you can do this. And for those people in the US or a place that uses Fahrenheit, I just want to give the translation. What you described would be 45 degrees Fahrenheit. And so I don't even think I would get in the ocean if it were 65 or 70 degrees. So the fact that you're doing it at 45 degrees Fahrenheit is totally impressive to me. So amazing that you can do that.
I have to say, there are a couple of things that I found that do make it a lot easier. Now, some people go in. There's a guy I've seen who goes in. And to be fair, he goes in and swims for about an hour. And maybe, you know, is somebody who does competitive swimming. I don't know. But he has a full-on wetsuit. The only part of him that is not covered in neoprene is his face.
Wow.
Now, I go in a normal swimming costume, but what I have found, and these do make a massive difference, are neoprene boots and gloves. And a lot of people say, I don't wear a hat, but a lot of people say a hat makes a difference as well. You see people going in with woolly hats, which I think would make it worse if they got wet. But anyway, having your, and I've done it. The first time I did it, I went in with swim shoes on, but there was no insulation effect at all. And having your feet and your hands, your extremities relatively warm makes a big, big difference, actually. Obviously, the rest of you still gets very, very cold, but it does make a difference. It makes it a lot more tolerable.
I remember when I was going to the cryotherapy, you had to put on socks and big mitts or gloves that, I don't know if you have these products there, but some people in the US might recognize these. We have something called Of Gloves, And there are these gloves that you use. So if you're taking stuff out of the oven, you can just hold it.
Oh, okay.
But there's big white gloves. So basically, you had to suit up with gloves and socks on. And I think in some way that makes sense to me just because the extremities, you know, you don't have as much fat on your toes and fingers. And, you know, they're going to get colder and at risk for, I assume, frostbite or whatever the other outcomes of that would be. So that makes sense to me that helps you to wear the boots, the gloves.
But I have to say, I mean, I've enjoyed every time I've been, but the times where it's been sunny is lovely, obviously, but the big waves have been so much fun. You know, it really takes you back to childhood and playing in the sea. And he was very interested in, you know, can we just isolate out the cold water immersion part? Is that the key component or is it everything else? Mm-hmm. And I presume it depends. It depends on the person. Wim Hof certainly talks about it, you know, it mostly being about the cold and the breathing. But I know people who've gone through that program and they say a big part of it is the communal experience element of it. And so I do really think it's certainly for me anyway, it's everything about the whole experience, the whole package that makes it so enjoyable and beneficial and, like I say, verging on addictive. But a good addiction to have, I think.
Yeah, a good one. I'm also wondering the fact that you're enjoying it at the sea, if there might also be some additional benefit in there from the negative ions.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, when you go to a beach or when the waves are crashing, it creates some negative ions, which can help people health-wise, can help feel better, can lift mood a little bit. Just it's a good de-stressor for the body and things. So you might be getting a little bit of benefit from that as well.
Mm. Yeah, I'm really interested to find out more about this woman who was seeing if it benefited her migraines. Because certainly, well, I don't know, I haven't really noticed that. I've had a lot of headaches or migraines of late. And certainly one day when I went with one, it got worse. It's interesting that when you have a migraine, you tend to either want cold or warm on, say, your neck. You know, when you were talking about the benefits maybe of cold shower and having the cold on your neck. So I think maybe it depends whether you're the warm or the cold type. I'm not sure. Or maybe it's a kind of a cumulative knock-on, more indirect effect. We shall see, I guess.
Yeah, very interesting. I think one of the things that's always challenging trying to assess the benefit of these things, whether it's an experiment of an N of one or a big experiment in a lab or with many subjects, is making sure that there aren't other contributing factors. Mm. And so, for example, what else might have been different over the past month with your migraines? And, you know, if those things change, we might assume that it's related to the cold water immersion, but it could be you changed something in your dietary intake, or you changed a supplement, or you slept differently, or, you know, it's so hard to isolate which things we're benefiting from, because it's so hard to keep other things consistent.
That's right.
But I'll be interested to see what your findings are.
For me, the main reason for doing it, I guess, is as something to help, you know, improve, and then hopefully once it gets improved, stabilize my mood. So that's the driving force really behind me doing it. And so far that seems to be helping. So it's all good.
And what a great social connection for you to be connecting with this community. And that's great.
Yeah, so far, those have been the two things where I meet people, walking the dogs and swimming in the sea. So it's a very good way to meet people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that is very fun.
And as we get to the summer, it's going to feel positively balmy. It's still only going to be about 16 degrees. I don't know what that translates to, but still probably very cold.
60, yeah, still a little bit too cold for me. Well, this is very exciting, Daisy. I'm glad that you're doing this. I'm glad you're enjoying it. And I hope that it does have some health benefits for you as you continue to explore.
Well, you know what I will be doing this week? More cold water swimming. Well, I hope you have a very lovely week.
You too, Daisy. Everybody have a great one. Bye now.